Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live, sponsored this morning by First Harvest Credit Union, this Thursday morning, March the 6th. And although it's not as warm as yesterday, we're still in the 50s today. That'll be the high, 44 degrees, cloudy this morning as we clean up from the storm. So we'll talk about the forecast. I want to get to a local story as we are looking at what happened to a 19-year veteran of the Philadelphia Police Department, is now recovering, and a man is in custody. This after the guy who had just been served a protection from abuse order actually turned on Philadelphia police. So officials say that this guy, they serve him the order, and the guy gets in his vehicle, shoves it in reverse, and drives directly, and they say purposely ramming his car into the police SUV, injuring that officer, who is a female officer. So was this because she's a woman, she served the protection of abuse order for him regarding, you know, a woman? You know, I don't have that information. That's one of the angles here.
Sure.
But she is a 19-year veteran with the police department, despite the fact that, you know, they had just served this to this 40-year-old man right there on the 1700 block of Grant Avenue across from Grant Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the Bustleton section of Philadelphia. So he was told he needed to leave this apartment complex. And this is, and there were multiple officers there, by the way. They were returning to their vehicles to prepare their paperwork, etc. And that's when the guy goes, gets in his SUV, which they thought, okay, he's complying.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, they say, shoves it into reverse and intentionally, you know, rammed into the vehicle of that 7th District officer while she was in the vehicle. So damage to the vehicle. She did not suffer life-threatening injuries. And in fact, she gets out and arrests the guy.
I was going to say, did she shoot out the tires? What did she do here?
No, she, okay. I think that there's, so I think that she gets out of the vehicle, which is damaged, and she, as well as others, were able to get him into custody and arrest him.
So you probably allegedly had perhaps a man who is committing domestic violence with perhaps a female spouse. She files for the PFA. They come to serve it. He's pissed off. And then probably gets triggered by a female cop and then does what you reported that he did. Wow.
Yeah, so
scumbags.
So she was, you know, they said that as far as the officer, again, she's a 19-year veteran. She was pretty shaken up and that, you know, the airbags went off. So you get hit by that.
Yeah.
She was able to get out of the vehicle, still arrest the guy, help arrest the guy. But now he's expected to be charged with assaulting a police officer in addition to all of this going on. But I, you know, we talked a lot about domestics, how dangerous they are for cops.
Oh, yes. It's a very unenviable position to be in for any of the people involved in those domestic relation issues.
Yeah, indeed. We talked about the NTSB, that preliminary report on the fire that consumed part of that six-car SEPTA train last month, Delaware County, Pennsylvania, a fiery scene. I mean, just really devoured, especially that one train car that we had talked about. No injuries reported, but $10 million at least in damages. Looks like it was electrical. One of the questions, if they smelled a burning smell, why didn't they just stop it and, you know, proceed from there? So that's one of the angles that they're looking at as far as the investigation. That's the preliminary. We got to talk about all the storms rolling through our region. Down trees this morning, some roadways blocked off across the region, really. And that's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. And so I know that PECO, several power companies have reported power outages, down trees. It looks like, I was looking at how much rain we got, more than an inch and a half of rain, which set a record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any injuries reported. That's the good news. Earlier this morning, they did report at some point eastbound lanes of I-76. At one point by Montgomery Drive, those were all flooded out. And then there was a problem on the Schuylkill Expressway moving forth toward University City early this morning.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, did you guys have any issues with your major roadways where you live? I was taking the girls to dance, and we take Germantown Pike up through, out towards Methacton High School to Eagleville to Collegeville. Man, branches everywhere, massive puddles. And even with my truck, I was like, let me just go around. I don't even want to try to drive through it, play it safe, the whole bit. It was a disaster.
Greg, were you going to say?
No.
Okay. I know Easton Road, they shut down. There's this huge banner, like near the Abington section of Philadelphia, outside Philadelphia, obviously, Monco. This huge banner, a sign, I guess, from a building, and that blew into Easton Road.
No.
So 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Yeah.
So it was significant. Huge trees uprooted when you have the combo of the high wind and then all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the cleanups are continuing, but the good news, no injuries. But if you're headed out Philadelphia Airport or area airports, call ahead. They did have some major delays last night. Still a few this morning. Trump news. We've talked about the fact as far as Donald J. Trump demanding that Hamas terrorists release all of the hostages in Israel. That's a headline this morning. And as well, the Trump tariff news that President Donald J. Trump granting that 1 month exemption on his new tariffs that he's talked about, the reciprocal tariffs that he had mentioned in his speech this week on the imports from Mexico and Canada for U.S. automakers. So he had this pause comes after he had a meeting, a conversation with the big three automakers. So we know Ford, General Motors, among them, Stellantis, and White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt had mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say something the other day that I think is interesting, and I'm just curious both of your opinions on it. I heard somebody say that the United States is no longer a manufacturing company. We are a consumer country.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's why Trump.
So doesn't that make the tariff thing a little harder? Because we don't make anything here. We buy things here. Right. I mean, we're the ultimate consumer China's garbage.
Yeah. You outsource everything. You lose a lot of leverage.
Yeah.
Although I saw, and this is according to Bloomberg, as far as the tariffs go and Mexico and Canada, I'm assuming these numbers are accurate. But I think that this would then counter that point as far as leverage goes. But then again, I'm not an expert on this. 35% of Mexico's GDP is exports to the United States. Only 1.2% of America's GDP is exports to Mexico, which you would interpret that, at least I am, as Advantage America. And then with Canada, with the tariffs, and we heard Poilievre yesterday basically echoing the same thing Trudeau said, 22% of Canada's GDP is exports to America, but yet for us, only 1.5% of our GDP is exports to Canada. Those two numbers would tell me leverage advantage the United States, but then to what you just said, Greg, which I agree with, so I don't know where that puts us at.
Well, I think that's why the experts say that they cannot afford this. So will there be a short term thing? And that's what the big three, they're saying, hey, this is too sudden for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that what Trump is saying, and the word is that this morning, is that he said to them, you got to figure this out. What I think during the pandemic, this is my theory on just interviewing so many experts, I think that what Trump is saying is, first of all, he wants to bring back some of these manufacturing jobs. Well, we lost too many, number one. But number two, remember what happened during the pandemic. We realized, oops, oh, we need all this stuff, like, our medication, even the stinking masks were made in China. The medication was made in China. We're too dependent on this. We need to have some of our, and plus with the jobs. I mean, so I think he wants to bring the jobs back.
But we as consumers like things fast and cheap. Mm-hmm. And if they're made here, they're not going to be fast and cheap.
Yep.
Because China can, they pay their people, $2 a week. And they can pump out a bunch of crap that we don't need.
Right.
So,
it's the catch-22 of convenience, right?
Like, but why is it cheap? It's cheap, according to Trump and the experts, it's cheap because we let them bring it in to us to sell it cheap, and we don't charge them nearly enough. That's why Trump was saying reciprocal tariffs. Whatever you charge us, we're going to charge you and make it in, you know, equity, not equity, equality.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's his point, that they need us. We're the gluttons of the world.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, honest to God, we buy so much stuff.
Yeah, we do.
In the world, and they all need us way more.
But we also don't, I mean, for the majority of people don't care where things come from. They just want it on their doorstep, fast and cheap. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if it's made in Hong Kong or Thailand or whatever, they don't care.
Right.
They just want it there the next day.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, that's why when Trump said in the State of the Union or whatever that was about the little bit of pain, a little bit of, you know, we don't, We're a society that doesn't have the patience.
No.
We're a society that's instant gratification.
Right. We don't think the long game out.
But and that's what he's looking at. What I feel that Trump is doing is he's negotiating the best deal, because this is who we are. Okay. So first of all, I think he wants us to have some of these jobs here. So God forbid something happens, the next pandemic, we're not caught with our pants down again.
I don't you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I don't disagree with that. I'm all for making things here. I'm just saying, as a society, we don't have the patience or the attention span for a little bit of pain. Let's do that. Like, we want things fast
and
cheap because we're used to it.
And we're lazy, used to it. Right? Like, nowadays, why leave your house to drive 6 miles one way to go to, you know, Sam's Club for product X when you can just do it in your underwear through Amazon and it's going to show up on your doorstep 7 hours later.
Last night, we needed a couple of things from the store and it was pouring down rain and I didn't feel like going out. So I went on my app and I got it. I paid an astronomical fee to have somebody deliver it to my house.
Oh, you got groceries delivered?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
Because it was, because I just didn't, yeah, I do it all the time.
What was the additional charge? Did it make everything like 30% higher?
Yeah. Everything's high, but I wanted it fast. I wanted it fast.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, like, I was just like, I don't care. Whatever it takes, I don't want to go out in this rain. You know what I mean?
That's what
I'm talking about.
If I tried to order groceries and there was a 30% additional charge, my wife would shoot me at point-blank range. Right in the skull. By the way, Forbes, I know we're getting on a tangent here, but with what you're talking about with tariffs on in the news here, Forbes says these are the following percentages of tariffs that Canada imposes on the United States. Chicken, Canada tariffs us at 263%. Turkey, 179%. Butter, 175%. Milk, 155%. Cheese, 147%. And then things like beef and pork, over 75%. Eggs, flour, wheat, orange juice on down the list. The peanut butter at 25%. I don't know how much of those products that we deal with in Canada, but those are the percentages of those items. That is staggering.
It's a ripoff.
We're getting played.
Yeah. So, maybe I think you're Greg's bringing up a good point.
I was ripped off yesterday by having five items that I could have just gone to the store to get myself cheaper.
But you took the bait.
But I took the bait because I didn't want to go out and it was easier. And now the technology is there. So I will just say, to hell with it, I'm going to go and let somebody else do this, give them a nice tip, pay 30% more for these items because it's easier. That's all I'm saying, is that, like, EKZ says that he like many people pay a little bit more because the products are made here. That's not the majority of people. It's just not.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the average person that's oblivious to society and life doesn't even know where their products come from.
Yeah.
Much less look.
Do you know I think I told you guys the story. My dad, he still does this, but for his whole life he would say, I'm not buying anything unless it says made in the USA.
Yeah, there are a lot of,
you know what I mean?
There are people like
that's
that, but it's not the majority
but
of people.
But it's not the majority.
Well, the people that listen to this radio station and chat on YouTube, yes, of course they're like that.
Right.
But it's not the majority of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think it depends on the item, too. There's a lot of people that are, you know, steadfast believers in buying their vehicle, buying American, right? Mm-hmm. There are other people that will go beyond just, you know, I'm only driving an American vehicle and it's products 2, 3, and 4. And then you have that select few out there that are looking at tags. They are legitimately, you know, shopping for American only across the board, which is very difficult to achieve that. If anybody out there can sit there today, honestly, in this audience and say, everything that I have, you know, what I don't care what category it is, 90% is made in the USA. I'd love to know how long and how much of a monotonous process that was for you.
It's true.
Because that's a painful exercise to achieve your, if you're trying to achieve a 75% quota on buying American, that's going to take a lot of time.
I'm not saying it can't be done, and I'm not saying there aren't people that do it. I know there are. I know some of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying it's not the majority of people. People don't care where things are made. They just want it fast and cheap.
Where's my cell phone case made?
Thank you.
Well,
Pakistan.
Speaking of, you know, getting consumers the best deal, how much have you been paying? What's the cost of your sanctuary city? I'll just give you a headline. And because you think about a city like Chicago, how much their own mayor admits they spent on illegals over the past 4 years? $574.5 million, but a little over half a billion dollars.
Oh my goodness!
New York City, $6.9 billion. I don't have the numbers for Philadelphia because our Philadelphia mayor was not called to this hearing yesterday. But I think the revelation here, and the Boston mayor wouldn't say because she said, well, we don't ask people, we just help people. But, you know, I do wonder as far as in Philadelphia or even if you live in Chester County, Montgomery County, all these, you know, New Jersey, the entire state, how much has this cost us?
I got to say, that Boston mayor is a special kind of stupid, isn't she?
Yeah,
I mean, she's just, I thought Kenny was bad. She might be worse.
Her and Brandon Johnson with their comments on illegal immigration in their city saying this is your home is just staggering.
We have all that coming up at 7:45.
Mm-hmm. So you want to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking, but also you want to think about the fact if they spent that much on their sanctuary cities, are we on par with that?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I just wanted to headline that one. We are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union this morning. You can apply today for a home equity loan from First Harvest Credit Union to leverage the equity in your home and then turn it into cash. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.24% APR. Visit firstharvestcu.com for all the details. Membership restrictions apply. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA. First Harvest Credit Union, thank you for sponsoring our second edition of Kale & Company News Live this morning.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. The cut sheet in 25 minutes, but up next, New Jersey we go. It's Kale & Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You got to make the kitchen magic happen. Yeah, magic in your kitchen. Family-owned Kitchen Magic has been making dream kitchens come true and really come to life for more than 45 years across our region. And bringing those for 60,000 homeowners. Kitchen Magic's experts, yeah, they're going to guide you every single step of the way from free in-home design consultation to the top-notch installation. So whether refacing new cabinetry or maybe a complete makeover, your kitchen transformation is covered with high-quality American-made products. And your new kitchen will be as functional and enduring as it is beautiful. Right now, you can enjoy an amazing 40% off installation. 40% off. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com. Kitchenmagic.com. Get 40% off the cost of installation. Tell them, Dawn.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Thank you.
It's Kale & Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
App. You can get the podcast.
Absolutely.
iTunes and Spotify.
By the way, speaking of that, Nick Hale, I'm really glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
Podcasts. You sent something a couple weeks ago, right, where we were, I'm going through.
Good reviews.
Yeah, we're getting some good reviews on both Apple and Spotify, right?
Yep.
But we need more.
Yes, we do.
So if you can download the podcast, or subscribe to it. I think you have to subscribe.
Subscribe, yep.
Anywhere you get podcasts, Odyssey, Apple, Spotify, whatever you do.
Yep.
Just leave a review. Yeah. Even if you hate the show.
Yeah, you can give it 5 stars.
Or give it 1 star. It's fine. Say how much you hate me.
Yeah.
And I ruin the show.
Yes. 5 out of 5 on, I believe, iTunes, and a 4.8 out of 5, which I'll take on Spotify.
Yeah, we need more. So please, whenever you get to your destination this morning, if you have a few minutes, just subscribe to the podcast and give us a review. It takes you literally 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it does a ton for us. If you support what we do, so you support what this radio station does, please make sure you're downloading and subscribing to the podcast and writing a review, if you like it or not.
Yeah, odds are you already have either iTunes or Spotify with music playlists to hear all your favorite jams from back in the day. So while you're there, just look us up. You search Kale and Company, and the podcast will come right up.
People are ripping me for ordering.
Yeah, we actually have to delve deeper into this conversation. We're going to bring Phil.
Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this, honestly. Yep. I purposely don't do it often just because it is. I mean, it is a ripoff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
But every once in a while, it's convenient.
Yeah.
So I do it.
We have the cut sheet coming up in 17 minutes. Before and after the cut sheet, there's going to be 3 things that we're going to try to cover here. And there's probably no morning show in the country that's going to go from the Supreme Court denying Trump the request to get out $2 billion in foreign aid. Then we will talk about whether or not in New Jersey your newborn baby is trans or gender queer. And also the value of shopping and getting your groceries delivered to you. And Phil Omquist made a great point. So you have Stocker here who used the delivery service from, was it Instacart that you used?
Shipped, I believe, yeah.
Okay. So you do it that way. I'm still the old-fashioned way. Like, I think a lot of people, I would guess the bulk of our audience gets up, they get in their vehicle, they drive to the grocery store, they get their groceries, they load them up, they go home, they do the whole song and dance with the significant other, putting them away, the whole thing. And then Phil mentioned that you also have, and Phil, jump in here, when you're at the grocery store, and I've seen these individuals that work for Giant specifically or whatever grocery store you go to, they're walking around with the big push cart in the bags, and they're checking off your list that you wanted them to shop for you, and then I think maybe you show up at the in the fire lane and then bring
it
out.
Yep.
Like curbside service.
Yeah.
Like back in the pandemic, it was, you know, you could no contact pickups.
Yeah.
So Phil Omquist, you had some details that you wanted to share. Oh, now Phil's coming running down. I thought, okay. So we're like a well-oiled machine today. So here's Phil. I thought Phil was going to join us from his back berth. All right. So you had details on the Instacart situation, which is a similar company to what Greg used.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the whole thing about Instacart is people will go into the grocery store with the order from somebody like a Greg.
Right.
And the shopper card. So they'll go through the whole process. Like yesterday. Yesterday was all the rain, like Greg mentioned. No one wants to go out, so they'll go online. They'll use an Instacart-type service, and they'll go through the cashier and have all these orders. But there were a few orders, because I was in the grocery store yesterday, and there were like 2 or 3 items.
Right.
Through Instacart.
Through Instacart. So, and I have no idea what the price of those items are. But, I mean, if it's $15 for those 3 items, you're that lazy that now you're going to cough up $28 because you don't want to get your ass off the couch?
Yeah.
By the way, let me just talk about my bona fides here real fast because, yes, I'm in a position right now where I can do this. But I was also the guy at 19, 18, 20 years old who was delivering pizzas in blizzards because I knew I would get a ton of business and play because nobody wants to go out in blizzards.
Okay.
So I would – everybody else was like, oh, I don't know if I can drive this. I had this little junky car. I think it was like a neon or something like that.
The Dodge Neon.
It was terrible in bad weather.
Terrible in the sun.
And I would make sure that I was always on call for delivering pizzas because I knew I would get tons of tips.
So you seized the opportunity when others were lazy. You were like, I'll just scoop up all the cash.
100%. 100%. So like I've been on the other side of this.
Okay.
Now I'm fortunately in a position that I can do this.
Right.
But I wasn't then.
Yeah. Well, so I've seen the people that work specifically like at a Giant doing the grocery thing. I have never seen the let's call them the Uber food drop or the DoorDash eats people that drop off food. I've never seen that occur in a grocery store. If it's happening, I'm oblivious to it. I just think
you
are a normal
consumer.
You
see these carts to come through because they have massive carts, like the big massive cart to go around the whole thing.
So they bring their own cart?
No. Like the store cart. Well, okay. The store cart, but it's the bigger one, not the little small individual one.
I love the small little individual one.
Not only that, but in this big massive cart, they'll have three orders, and they're all huge orders regularly.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, okay, so this is this order. Now, you know, process the order. Here's the receipt so they can make sure that particular Instacart person is getting it.
Uh-huh.
And then go to the next one. And, you know, it takes like 20 minutes through the cashier's line.
This is amazing.
Am I the only person on this show?
Yes.
And we could ask Dawn, but she's not here. am I the only person on the show that delivers, that gets food delivered?
You guys know me. We've talked about this in the past with the cost of groceries. I love grocery shopping. I find it therapeutic. I don't know if it was I was raised this way. My mom, back in the day when she was alive and I was a kid, she was a Saturday morning grocery store shopper. It was like a routine religion for her. She was there at 8 o'clock, and my dad used to bust her balls all the time. He would say, Maggie, what, you think they're going to run out of food? You got to get there at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning? And she would do it. So now we're Sunday morning shoppers now for the most part, but I do it every Sunday morning with or without the wife, with or without the girls, and I love it.
Michael on the YouTube chat says, I drive for Instacart part-time and can make an extra $2,000 a month. It pays for my alimony and child support. See, Kale, Phil.
Divorce is expensive.
There you go. You guys can make some extra cash.
$2,000, he can make $24,000 a year.
Oh, dude, I especially yesterday in the rain. Like, I know what those drivers are going through. I overtip 100%. I overtip.
I mean, getting back to like this laziness, and then also where we are as a consumer country versus a manufacturing and a production company. Think about that. It started out with delivery drivers. Then we get DoorDash and Uber Eats. I've even seen, not that I've utilized this, but I've thought about it, you can have liquor and alcohol delivered on an app, which actually makes sense because if you've been drinking at home, the worst thing you can do is get in your car and drive back to the store, right?
Depending on where you are, I think. Yes. I don't think everybody can get that.
Yeah, some states don't permit it. And now we're at this point where if you don't want to go get your groceries, a grocery store employee will pick them out for you, or you could do the Instacart, whatever method that Stocker is doing. What is next? I mean, are we going to be at the point? I mean, we already know, like, you know, the Home Depots and the Lowe's, they'll bring the truck with the washer and dryer. I mean, is there any area or avenue of commerce out there that is about to go by the wayside because Americans are too fat and lazy to get off their ass? What's next to be just basically dropped off on your doorstep?
Well, the only other option really would be to directly go through General Mills and have it go directly from the manufacturer to you. I mean, that's the old, eliminate all the, you know, shopping. I mean, just saying that is really it.
That is interesting. And that's probably not too far. I wouldn't be surprised if there's companies out there that do that already that we just don't know about. Right?
That is entirely possible.
The day my daughters ask for cereal delivered on the doorstep, I'm going to doge everybody. Tell you that right now. 855-839-1210. All right. So the other story that we wanted to get to was from our buddy Matt Rooney. And I want to tie these two together. I've got this story from Fox News about Republican and independent voters reacting positively to Trump when he declared that the U.S. will be woke no longer.
Our country will be woke no longer.
So we gave you yesterday the Bucks County CNN focus group that we played for you. So Fox News Digital did a focus group of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, and they gave their reaction to Trump's condemnation of wokeness and the declaration that there are only two genders during his speech to a joint session of Congress. In two separate dial tests administered by Maslansky and partners, Lee Carter, for Fox News Digital on Tuesday night, the three sets of voters indicated how they felt about the two prominent moments from the address as they happened. And the two most notable results showed that both Republican and independent voters reacted very favorably to Trump's proclamation that the U.S. will be woke no longer, while Democrat voters revealed their negative feelings towards his statement. Now, of course, there is, if you get into the weeds here, there are some Democrats that are against wokeness. And then, of course, there's, you know, those are your moderate, classic liberal Democrats like Bill Maher that thinks this woke stuff is absurd. And then, of course, you have your far left progressives that, you know, have adopted it as their gender and their religion and everything else. And that leads us to this story that I saw from Rooney on X last night, our boy Matt Rooney. You hear him Sunday nights from 7 to 10 here on 1210. And he also has a very popular website called SaveJersey.com, where the headline is, New Jersey hospitals and medical institutions are asking new parents if their newborn baby is transgendered or gender queer.
God.
We can delve into the specifics here, and there's some quotes from South Jersey's Inspira hospital system and what their protocol for going about this is. There's legislation. You've got Phil Murphy involved, the whole bit. But could you imagine, just my initial reaction would be, and I think I gave this story before, when my wife was pregnant with our twin daughters, I was there in the delivery room. Out comes Olivia, out comes Mia, and all of a sudden my blood sugar dropped, and I was ready to pass out. The nurse looks over, she's like, Mr. Kale, would you like to step out and get an apple juice? You look like you're ready to faint. I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling too hot right now. I saw a lot of things I did not want to see. I can't imagine a doctor or a nurse in that setting or after the baby is born, and I'm going to totally butcher this. I forget what the process is like. You know, they clean the baby off, they swaddle him, then they go into that room where they lay him down on the thing and they're doing all the tests. Could you imagine if a nurse or a doctor came up to you and asked you about your baby being either genderqueer, transgender, or anything other than what your ultrasound might have revealed as to whether or not the baby, and I forget this, Dawn, you can slap me upside the head or correct me. You know, when you find out your baby's gender, I don't know, is it month four, month six? I forget. But we found out our twins were going to be girls. And I was like, all right, well, there are either going to be two boys in there, two girls, one of each, right? Could you imagine what these hospitals, how insane they've gone, that you can come up to a parent and ask that question? And what do you think the reaction is? And I get it, it's New Jersey. But what do you think the reaction is from the average parent that looks at, and that doesn't live politics like we do, that maybe never has even heard of these terms like genderqueer, transgendered, and the other 12 that apparently exist on forms that you fill out for a woke doctor? Could you imagine what that would be like as a mom?
No.
After you just went through labor? Forget the dad for a moment. What does the mom think?
No, and is this the actual, I mean, I know Matt Rooney, who's also an attorney in New Jersey, he lives in New Jersey, but is this now common in every hospital?
He says, according to his, I guess this would be considered reporting, Rooney says, I'm told by a reliable source that this particular system that is used by the South Jersey Inspira hospital system ceased using this particular form after obtaining a waiver late last year. My guess is here, and if, you know, for some reason Rooney's not in a courtroom and he's listening, I would love to hear his perspective on this. My guess is this is a lot like that story in Vanderbilt down in Nashville that we talked about, where the Vanderbilt hospital was performing a lot of these transgender mutilation performances and procedures, and people got wind of it. Guys like Matt Walsh, they started writing about it and covering it, and they scrubbed their website, where all of a sudden that procedure just disappeared from the public eye. I'm assuming that these forms have now been adjusted after, I'm going to guess, people were outraged over the findings of this. I mean, you know, we're talking about brains not being fully formed to go through these procedures until you're in your mid-20s. I'm of the belief if you can serve your country and die in war at 18, you want to chop off a body part, change your gender, whatever it might be, go through those procedures, knock yourself out. But a newborn baby?
We have the, Phil just put it up there, sexual orientation and gender identity questionnaire.
Yes, and this is Inspira Health, which I've heard of before. So this is not just a one-off hospital, for sure. This is a big company.
So is this something that they're doing like a study?
No, they're asking the parents to declare your newborn baby as something other than male or female. Look on YouTube right here. You'll see it.
What sex was your baby assigned to at birth?
Right.
But I mean, I know that they're doing it, but I've never heard of this.
But how does a parent, and this is where, you know, these absurd things start. So Let's just go.
I have relatives across the country who had babies within the past year.
Yeah.
And family members, and nobody had this.
Well,
so
they probably go to a common sense normal hospital or use normal medical care. So you've got the assigned at birth sex, which is your biology. There's only two. You can only come out of mommy's womb as a boy or a girl. And then it's right below it. Now, how do you identify your baby as? I'll play along with this facade. Well, what happens if the baby finds out that mommy and daddy said, male, actually, when you look at the identity, is transgender female / trans woman / male to female. What if that baby, all of a sudden at 17 years old, says, you know what, how dare you, mom and dad, declare me this on day 8? I'm changing that around. This is like an absurd world we're living in. I can't believe this is real life. But you, as a, like, I mean, I'm sitting, when I was born, this is going to sound like, you know, old man, get off my lawn. You know, I didn't get to pick my name. My parents said, you're Nick, and you'll go by Nick as long as you're in this house. And if you want to change your name when you're legally eligible to change your name, knock yourself out. Now we're letting parents assign genders after what you were officially assigned at birth in upside down world.
Do you identify your baby as female, male, transgender, female, trans woman, male to female, transgender, male, trans man, female to male, gender queer, neither exclusively male nor female, additional gender category?
Self-described. Please specify. Yeah, please write a dissertation on what you think your kid will declare himself or herself to be.
And this is, I mean, like, we have the photo on YouTube if you want to see this. Yeah. YouTube.com/at1210.
Shut these institutions down. Yeah. Doge, everybody. What are we doing here? Really?
So I looked up how many babies are born with both genitalia, male and female. 1.7% of babies mm-hmm. are born with what's called intersex conditions.
So they have
with
both,
all kinds of variations.
So they have both male parts and female parts.
Which is a thing. I have a couple relatives who are nurses, and they, so the stat is about 1 in every 2,000 has some kind, but there are all these different variations.
So what, all right, let me
what
ask
do we
you
used to call them? Hermaphrodites, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, that's right. Remember that whole story? Yeah, she was allegedly.
Allegedly.
Born with
both?
Yeah. It's not true. Oh, it's 100%
I mean,
not true.
But okay. For some reason. Yeah.
Explains why she's made so many Halloween movies with Mike Myers. So what happens then, Dawn? Because I genuinely don't know. So if you are in that 1.7% that's born with both both sides of the equipment, what, I mean, is... Where do you based on what your friends or family that are nurses know, what is the next methodology or mode or where do they go from there?
So what they usually do is they work with the family to try to figure that out, and it's, you know, parents just, you know, first of all, you just had a baby mm-hmm. and now you want to do the right thing.
Do we know the percentages of those?
Well, that's
that are,
a good question.
So how many go male? How many go female? How many go undecided? I feel like we're committing to a college here. I'm still undecided.
How many just say I'm going to have fun with myself?
Stop.
I knew you'd go there. I was trying.
I never need to leave the house.
I'm trying to do real life data analysis here, and you're in the gutter. But that's fine. That's what makes the show go.
So I think the percentage is that generally speaking, there are more females.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's easier to go female because whatever little male part that's there mm-hmm. is very much underdeveloped,
yeah.
and so it's easier to go female
to remove.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's okay. usually, but so that is a thing, like I say, like one for every 2,000 newborn babies. So, there is a situation with that, if in a physical way, but in this case, it just feels like, remember that famous, who was it, Bill Maher, who mm-hmm. had that statement where he said, isn't it funny how we seem to push this in some parts of the country and then it's not existing
yes.
in others?
Yes. I've said it's a regional cultural thing for sure. You don't see it in certain sections of the country. And then along the coast, it's far more predominant and talked about. Absolutely. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to a Thursday edition of What's Not on the Cut Sheet, because we have a lot to get to. It's Kale and Company, and we are back after this.
Oh, with all the warm weather and the rain, I walked out last night after all the rain was over and looking at the lawn and thinking about, can't wait for spring. You know, when choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense, doesn't it, to just hire a great company that provides better results and is actually safer for you, your family, your pets. And that's why I chose Natural Lawn of America years ago. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family, your kids, your pets. And from the organic fertilizers to the safer weed and insect controls, they're going to make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Don't just take my word for it. You can join the growing number of homeowners that are switching right now to Natural Lawn's safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Do this today. Get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. I'll never forget years ago when I signed up and my husband's like, oh, what's Dawn doing again? And then he did notice the difference. This naturally lush green lawn. For me, it's important that it's safer, that I know when the kids are out there, now the grandkids, the dog, the pets, everybody's safer. I love Natural Lawn. You will too. Your lawn deserves the best. Call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't want to get the cart before the horse. Is that the correct terminology,
yes.
Don Stenson?
Yes, it is.
But I am in contact with Elon Musk. And we are hoping, I believe next week, early next week, to have a Elon Musk, Donald Trump, quote unquote, debate.
Buckle up.
Or interview.
Yeah.
Interview,
you know. Joint fireside chat.
Joint fireside chat, yeah. So we're working out all the logistics as we speak right now because Elon Musk is in Canada.
Yeah. Maybe he has his little Pittsburgh salon hottie with him.
He might.
Yeah.
He might.
I feel really old when I say that, a hottie. Yeah. Hey, where did I pull that one from? I'm trying to be cordial and be respectful.
And you're not.
Yeah, I'm not. No. All right, without further ado, let's find out what Stalker has lined up at 7:54. We like to call it What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay. Yesterday, Don made reference to this a lot this morning. The mayors of four sanctuary cities testified yesterday before the Republican-led House Oversight Committee, where they defended their jurisdiction's immigration policy and treatment of undocumented immigrants. I'm reading directly from CBS News, by the way. There's a little fireworks between AOC and Eric Adams, but I want to start with the Boston mayor.
Friendly fire.
AOC,
I mean, two Democrats going at it.
Well, no, he's Eric Adams is MAGA now because they gave him a sweetheart deal to.
Yeah, you got
to
investigate.
Yeah, to drop all those charges. So,
Eric Adams.
It's funny how you change your tune.
Yeah.
I'll just goo goo it. As Sean Farrar says. Cut 12 here. This is This Boston mayor is just, she's horrendous. She's a horrendous, like, I can't believe Boston would vote her in.
I'm telling you, man, this could have been Philadelphia.
I know. She's worse than Kenny. Wu. Michelle Wu, is that, mm-hmm. is that yes. it? Her message to illegals. Roll it.
You belong here. This is your home.
Yes.
Boston es tu hogar. Boston, this is our city. We are the safest major city in the nation because we are safe for everyone.
When you actually read some of the press clippings from the Boston, I think it's the Herald. Yeah. There's another paper up there as well. Her policies are almost identical, and this is across the left wing mayoral spectrum. So it's the same game that Brandon Johnson's playing in Chicago, whoever's out there, in L.A. and San Francisco. But this is identical to what we would have had with Helen Gim. Dawn, you talk about Sherelle Parker being much more moderate compared to her counterpart, which would have been Helen Gim. We could have had this in Philadelphia, and thank God we don't. And Stocker, you're sitting here saying she's worse than Kenny.
I believe that.
I mean, that makes you think of what the hell Helen Gim would have been capable of. Could she have been worse than Kenny and Wu? That would have been scary, and that would be our backyard.
Am I out of line for saying that? She's worse than Kennedy?
Kenny?
Yeah.
Past mayor here? No. Yeah. I think you're correct. She is, and the fact that she cannot be accountable to tell the people in Boston how much their tax dollars have gone to welcome in all these folks. Because mm-hmm. I think this mayor, certainly Mayor Wu, takes a salary. How come Mayor Wu doesn't take a pay cut to, fund all of this?
I'm such an infant child.
What?
I just love Wu.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. I love Kenny Wu from Mighty Ducks, too. The figure skater that turned hockey player, he was great.
Or Dr. Wu from Silly Dan.
Doctor. One last thing on this as far as, Wu and some of these Democrat mayors. I mean, imagine you're sitting there and you go back to what she said almost verbatim. No, this is your home. You belong here. No, think about how illogical that is. You are in the country illegally, and she's saying, no, Boston is your home. No, your home is the Middle East or somewhere in Mexico or South America or wherever the hell you came from illegally when the gates were opened up the last 4 years from the Biden administration. I mean, that's like going into, a retail establishment, breaking in, and then the manager of the retail establishment saying, no, you're fine. You belong here. You can stay here. No, you can't. We closed an hour ago. Get the hell out.
Chicago's mayor. So that was Boston. Let's now go to Chicago. This is Cut 13, Phil. This is Brandon Johnson, who might actually. this is like a murderer's row.
I actually think he's the worst.
Awful people.
I didn't know that it could get worse than Lori Lightfoot in Chicago.
Yeah,
he has managed to pull off a single digit approval rating.
Well, I will say this, guys. At least Philadelphia was not here. Was not represented. So.
No.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We are a sanctuary city, are we not?
We are. And it the problem is that I don't know that we keep statistics, much like Boston.
Yeah.
Because a sanctuary city technically does not keep those stats. So unless somebody somewhere is keeping the stats, then you as a taxpayer don't actually know how many millions of dollars or billions in some cases.
Let me play devil's advocate with you because you're a city resident. You pay city taxes. I don't. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that they don't know the numbers? Because we know what the motive here is, right? We've established, and Elon Musk even said it just recently on the Rogan podcast, the whole objective of flooding the gates with the border is to bring in illegals, and the math is I don't know how Elon Musk arrived at that number. It might be accurate. It could be a total lie. It could be somewhat off. 80% will end up voting Democrat. So do you find it odd that these cities that are hoping with the objective of getting them to be registered voters sooner rather than later don't know the math and don't know the numbers? I find that hard to believe, especially in the swing states where these sanctuary cities are located. Pennsylvania, swing state, Philadelphia, they don't know. Are you buying that? I'm not.
Well, but you, in okay, I'm halfway there. I mean, I think certainly they know how much that they have the services that they provide.
Right.
But I feel that if you're a taxpayer and all of our taxes have gone up, I think they owe it to us to tell us, well, are our city tax dollars, state tax dollars, going to the services to house and feed and clothe individuals who've come to this country illegally, mm-hmm. who are currently here without court dates illegally, and we have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, you guys who decide that, you all need a huge pay cut, meaning any elected official.
Yes. And I would think that stands from anybody that's paying attention to this. Is probably, I don't think you're in the minority, though, when you say that, as far as those people taking those pay cuts, because you're the taxpayer that's affording these people to have those salaries. I would also love to know, too, what is the population shift in these big sanctuary cities over the last 4 years? Okay, so Boston or Philadelphia, income 200,000 illegal immigrants. But how many people are leaving that jurisdiction because of this? And what's the, you know, net positive or net loss in those? Because we've seen blue state exodus, you know, to red state. I'd love to know what the city numbers look like on a sanctuary level.
I mean, as far as Philadelphia, the number that is the common number that we hear, and this is as of like January 1st, 50,000 illegals here in the city of Philadelphia. But so what does that look like? In other words, mm-hmm. are they all working? Because if you're illegal, then how do you have a job? Do you have a health care plan? If you don't have a health care plan, how are you getting health care services? Mm-hmm. How much does that cost? You know what I mean?
And the fact that there's so much murkiness and unanswered questions and clouds that hang over all of this, that automatically should, you know, draw red flags from anybody that's remotely curious about any of this and skeptical. Why do we not know these answers?
Yeah, and also, to your point, for people, let's say they are here illegally. I mean, that was one case of the one situation here in the city with that. It was a car wash where ICE did come in. It was targeted. But then they said that some of those people who are here illegally, they actually were being, I mean, this was like a, I don't know, like a human slavery trafficking situation, not sex type thing,
yeah.
But where the coyote, like somebody wanted to come here, and now you have to do slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
So these communities are much more likely to be taken for granted. They're much more likely, perhaps, to not get the health care they need, and you know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Sure.
So why would you put people that you allegedly care about in peril, in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. By the way, it was Eric Adams from New York, Michelle Wu from Boston, Brandon Johnson from Chicago, and Mike Johnson from Denver, I believe.
Yes.
Were the four that were held, or that were grilled for from the House Oversight Committee. This is Mayor Brandon Johnson refusing to confirm he will turn over criminal illegal aliens to ICE. Roll it.
Mayor Johnson, under Chicago law, would you turn this criminal over to ICE on a detainer?
Our local law enforcement works hard every day to get criminals off the streets of Chicago.
Would you turn that criminal over to ICE? That's the problem. That's one of the topics of this conversation. That's one of the problems we've heard from Tom Homan and from the Homeland Security, is that in your cities, when someone's apprehended for a crime and ICE is now with this new federal policy wanting to come in and deport the criminal alien, that you will not cooperate with ICE. Will you turn that criminal over to ICE?
And we do not harbor criminals. Our local police department works hard every single day to ensure that the city of Chicago is
safe. Yes or no? Will you turn the criminal over to ICE?
With a criminal warrant from the federal government, our local law enforcement.
Oh, I was hoping we wanted to see. I'm guessing he said no. This guy is just giving the same, you know, memorized talking point. If you're Tom Homan, I mean, you go in there and you've got these mayors providing the resistance that they are you deal with them and you do everything that you have been vested and granted as a federal agent. I actually feel bad because you hear Johnson there spewing about the Chicago police officers. I feel bad for the cops that are out there mucking and grinding on a daily basis that are in agreement with Tom Homan and Trump and ICE and Kristi Noem that can't stand the policy or the position of Brandon Johnson, and then they end up being put between a rock and a hard place where, you know that a majority of these officers want to do exactly what Homan is, you know, trying to do as he goes from city to city, whether it's Denver or anywhere else, Philadelphia, down to Atlanta. We've seen kind of the tracker, so to speak, of where ICE has been, you know, maneuvering throughout the country. And you have these politicians, these unlikable people like Brandon Johnson. Again, I think one of the polls had him at a 6% or a 9% approval rating. Nobody in Chicago is probably on board with his policy. And yet, for some reason, the media will vilify the Homans of the world or the police officers, not Brandon Johnson.
Yeah.
Again, upside down world we live in.
But that guy in particular, that was Denver, right?
That was Brandon Johnson.
That was Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, Chicago.
That was the Chicago one?
Yeah.
Because there was the other one, which was, maybe I'm getting ahead of you, but the one where we had law enforcement injured because there was a Venezuelan gang member, and this, I believe that one was the Denver one.
Yes.
Is that the Aurora?
Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado, yeah.
And so in that one, that you had law enforcement injured because this, you know, alleged, dangerous gang member who was jailed, and now they
Tren de Aragua.
They let the guy out.
Yeah.
And so now they say to ICE, well, you can go in the parking lot and get him.
Mm-hmm. Tom Homan was on his favorite network last night, Fox News.
Is he on the payroll yet? Is it a talent?
He was. He was. So he apparently still is because he's on every show every day. Talking about what Boston Mayor Michelle Wu said for sticking up for illegal immigrants. This is what he said. Cut 21, go.
Look, I was on an airplane today. I didn't see that hearing, but thank you for playing that because now I won't sleep like a baby. Because if I can get to live in her mind rent-free every day, that's kind of cool. I love my job. I work for the greatest president in my lifetime. We're making America safe again. President Trump promised American people we're going to shut down illegal alien crime in this country. That's exactly what we're doing. Mayor Wu should be standing side by side with me. Who does not want to bring hell to an illegal alien that raped a child? Not one, many of them. I stopped counting at 9.
He really does love his job. And if I recall correctly the backdrop, Homan was in retirement, correct? Mm-hmm. When Trump said, I want you to come out of retirement, I believe, and take over the border czar role. And yeah, we were just kind of having fun there about his media appearances and how he's plastered all over the TV. But I did say yesterday, and I think it's accurate, what he's doing is he's advertising. He's telling you that he is coming to your city. He is bringing hell. And it's shown in the numbers.
It is, but there's a lot of nuance to all of this that everybody just kind of lumps it all in together. Well, we're arresting a bunch of illegals. Great. But you arrest them, you detain them, and then you deport them.
Right.
And the numbers vary between arrests, which are up,
yep,
detentions, which are up, but deportations are not.
That's correct.
So there's still that fly in the ointment there where they're arresting them, they're detaining them, but they're not deporting them.
And then there's the other side of it is border crossings and border entry. So you're looking at it from they're already in the country. We're going to round them up, and where do they go from there? But I think the advertising has really paid off when you look at the illegal border encounters. I just want to recite these numbers. I gave these to you, I think, on Monday. So in February of 2022... that would be the beginning of year two for Biden. We saw, now this is February alone, 166,000 encounters. Go ahead to February of 2023, 156,000 encounters. Go ahead to 2024, just 13 months ago, 189,000 encounters at the border. Fast forward to this year, February of 2025, 8,326. That's a drop off of 150-some thousand, 180-some thousand on those numbers. I think the advertising is paying off.
Agreed.
Because
agreed.
People are saying, yeah. Man, yes. If I had a thought about it, it's probably not going to happen unless I have major guts.
You're 100% right.
Can I just interject quick something? And that is, to Greg's point, one of the reasons about deportations, look, amidst all this, during any administration, you still have rights.
Yeah.
In America.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they can arrest people, they still have to read them their rights, inform them fully, provide them an attorney, provide them an interpreter. They still have to go through everything as far as these individuals have full rights.
Mm-hmm.
I will also point out to you that President Trump, they need more funding. They're running out of money for these deportations as well because it's expensive.
Yes.
AOC and Eric Adams. I think this was at the same hearing. This was the House Oversight Committee.
With Comer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She questioned Eric Adams on the DOJ move to drop the criminal case against him. They kind of went back and forth on this. Let's play a little bit of this, Phil, if you will.
Mayor Adams, on January 31st of 2025, your attorneys met with federal prosecutors regarding the charges of bribery, campaign finance fraud, and conspiracy against you. Were you aware of this meeting prior to its occurrence?
Congresswoman, as I...
Microphone, please.
I'm sorry. As I stated,
he's a rocket scientist, isn't he?
And I'm going to continue to state because we're asking the same question over and over again.
This is an
interesting. This case is in front of Judge Ho, and at a deference to
I understand, Mr. Mayor Adams.
Process, I'm going to
Mayor Adams, as your counsel, I'm sure will inform you. The only permissible way to refuse to answer a question during a congressional proceeding such as this is by pleading the Fifth Amendment. Deference to the judge is not a permissible excuse for not answering questions during a congressional hearing. Is it your intention to plead the Fifth today?
Councilwoman, you said the only way that you can't answer a question is to plead the Fifth. I am answering your question. I'm answering your question directly. That
you are not, Mayor Adams.
Okay. I believe I am.
I will ask it again. Were you aware of the meeting of you, between your attorneys and federal prosecutors on January 31st? Answering this question is a yes or a no.
And I'm going to answer it again. At a deference to Judge Ho, with this case...
That is not an answer, Mayor Adams.
He is going to deal with the outcome of the case.
He's a slimy son of a bitch.
Mayor Adams, is it your intention to not comply with this
question? Is he under a judge's order?
I don't know. Somebody's speaking to him right now. Yeah. That might be his attorney or something.
As I stated, I'm answering your questions, and what you're doing, let's be clear on, you're asking me about communications between my attorney and I. And I don't think that is appropriate to be asking a question between my attorney and I, because we are in a country of law and order.
I understand. So, Mayor Adams,
who is your attorney?
Exactly.
Who is your attorney?
Can we just pause that for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is like watching Dumb and Dumber right here. I mean, this is woke eating woke. And this is I've been telling you for years, this is always what happens. Eventually, they will turn on each other. I'm not sure if it gets more animated there. By the way, that's the softest I've ever heard AOC speak in her mm-hmm. life. Normally she's at like a level 10 volume wise. She's at like level 1 there. But for him to sit there, and you're right, he is slimy, and he is, you know, just doing whatever he can to handle his own bottom yep. line in light of all the developments in his political career the last 15 months. But to sit there and say you're all about law and order, really? I mean, do we have to bring up Daniel Penny? Do we have to bring up the subway crimes? Do we have to bring up all the issues that New York City and Don... Your husband, Larry, can attest to it and talk to it better than anybody on this show because he goes in there every day for work. That is really rich for him to bring up law and order, which is actually sad because he's a former police officer. And the fact that you could be a police officer in your prior life professionally, obviously, I think if you're a cop, you believe in law and order or else you probably don't take that job. And then to become a anti-law and order mayor in the biggest city in the country, it's disgraceful, actually.
I don't like anything about this. I don't like Eric Adams. I think he's a sleazy guy who's just trying to make a deal. I don't like the fact that that the DOJ is making sweetheart deals with him to drop drop the charges if they cooperate with him. I think this whole thing stinks. I think the whole thing stinks. Thank you.
I don't disagree with the word you said.
As far as the judge he's referring to, I just looked that up. What if, you know, because if somebody's under a judge's order, although you notice that because she knows that once the lawyer said you're not allowed to force him to answer a question about the protected private communication between attorney-client.
Yeah, it's a privilege. Yep.
So, but Judge Dale Ho, who's a federal judge, he had in his order, he won't decide until mid-March, I guess. So next week, it looks like, he could decide to grant the dismissal. In other words, they put forth to try to dismiss the case against Mayor Adams. So Judge Ho did put some orders in place. One of them, though, will he or won't he dismiss the case? I mean, we don't know.
Judge Ho.
H-O. Nope. Dale Ho.
Dale Ho, not Putin's Ho.
Speaking of that, cut eight, Phil. You played this in the Big Take earlier. I'm going to play it again. Jasmine Crockett eloquently said this.
First of all, thank you for making the back of my head famous. But second of all, if we could do a sequel, if you could tell Donald Trump anything tonight, what would you tell him?
I would tell him to grow a spine and stop being Putin's hoe.
Yeah. Jasmine Crockett, Sean Farish, and I were having a conversation last night on texting and tweeting back and forth about that clip or some of her other comments. There's other videos of Jasmine Crockett, you know, just shooting off her mouth like a nut job. She is the equivalent of the outlandish shock jock radio host that says a whole bunch of stupid crap. It never connects. It never resonates. It creates a soundbite, never gets ratings, and then flames out and fizzles into oblivion. I think that's what Jasmine Crockett's political career. She is, I think, trying to become the female face and voice.
I agree with you.
Of the Democrat Party, in the wake of Kamala Harris crashing and burning, and she is not it.
She's doing the exact opposite of what Schumer and Pelosi and Al Green and all those fossils are doing. She's trying to take a younger, hipper approach by cursing and saying outlandish things and not really doing anything, you know what I mean? Like she the media loves her because she says stupid things.
Yes.
And then
she's kind of the Joy Reid equivalent, where she doesn't get results, but she gets clicks based on what she says.
The shock jock analogy is a good one.
That's really what she is. And how about that, by the way, in the beginning of that video, handing off her fruit punch to another lady. Hold my cocktail, lady. I need to answer this question with a stupid answer.
What did this dumb reporter mean by "you made the back of my head famous"? Does anybody know?
I don't.
Because I have some theories and thoughts.
I hope that's not a dirty... Like, I was like, oh my goodness.
This schmuck, there was no way he was sitting in front of Jasmine Crockett during the joint address, right? I can't imagine wearing, you know, what he's wearing, that he was sitting ahead of her. But you know the worst part, too, is...
Snap on.
I try to try to keep this show...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because you got your brain all... You're just a mess. I mean, she is, from what I've read online, not on social media, but her background, she attended a $20,000 a year private high school. Mm. So she tries to play off that, you know, she has risen up from nothing in poverty. From what I gather, I'm just assuming, I don't know, I went to a public high school. I could never afford to send my girls to a high school that's 20 grand a year. I would think that your parents have to be relatively well off to afford $20,000 a year for grades 9 through 12.
Not necessarily.
No?
No, because they all have huge grant programs and it's based, so not necessarily at all.
Don knows this firsthand.
I know.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I can tell you this.
Germantown Academy ain't cheap.
Is that right?
No. What's wrong with you?
I don't look up that stuff. I'm a public school kid. I don't do that.
Well, I was too. But the private schools are great, but they don't.
Nothing wrong with public school.
No.
My kid's going to go to public school.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see about that.
Wait till I get some death threats, then he's definitely not going to.
Oh, and trust me, like, I'm not saying my kids go to bad public school. I mean, with the Wissahickon School District is well regarded as a public public district, so you know, they'll be fine.
No, I was a public school kid.
Yeah.
I was the first female in my family to graduate with a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so my attitude when I went to, because my parents were like, we can't afford it. But my attitude was, it's a ticket. No matter what anybody says, it's still a ticket. These private high schools to have, I mean, my son's high school right now in Germantown Academy, they have six kids sitting at a round table. It's just a superior education.
So the teacher to student ratio much smaller.
It's like 6-1.
Yeah, it's 25-1.
Yeah,
yeah.
It just doesn't compare.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube,
and the opportunities they have, it does not. It's just a game changer.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. If you're watching right now, please hit the like and subscribe buttons and hit the bell. Hit the little bell there. Because that will alert you when we are live. Thank you, everybody who watched yesterday and hit the subscribe buttons. We really appreciate it. If you're going somewhere, you can't, you know, get to YouTube when you get to your destination. Make sure you give us some play on there by hitting the. Again, you can see everything that we do here.
Yeah. Hit a bunch of buttons and play with us.
Yeah.
But she went to an all-girls Catholic high school in St. Louis. That's where Jasmine Crockett went.
Mm-hmm. Real fast, I've been sitting on this for a couple of days. Governor Kathy Hochul, remember we played the video the other day of Andrew Cuomo announcing that he's going to run for mayor. He's going to run for mayor. He's going to win.
Yes.
He will be a contender for the presidency for the Democratic Party in 2028. Like, I'm just looking into the future because Cuomos are like herpes. They, you know, you get rid of them and then they keep coming back.
Yeah, they're like the Clintons.
Well, that too. She was asked about Governor Cuomo because, you know, she was his deputy, right? She was the vice governor or whatever it is, like whatever the assistant is. And then when he resigned, she took over. So, you know, you would theoretically think that there's some sort of loyalty there. Not so much. Is Cuomo fit to serve as New York City mayor, Wolf Blitzer asks her. This is what she said.
Let's go to the Situation Room.
He is fit to serve as New York's mayor.
First of all, Wolf, congratulations on the new show. Delighted to be on your first episode. Also, here's what I'm going to tell you about the mayor's race. And this is the position you're going to hear today, all the way up until the election's over for the primary in June. I will work with whomever the really smart voters of New York City decide they want to be their mayor. That is not up for me to decide. I don't
really
even vote in the
voters city.
But I will say also, I will support people ultimately after they're elected who support my agenda of increasing public safety, dealing with the homelessness crisis, people with mental health problems, closing down illegal cannabis shops, making our streets safer. So I'm looking forward to working with whomever wants to partner with me to lift this city up.
Is he
in the meantime, I'm not focused on the politics.
No.
I have a state to run.
Yeah.
I've got multiple crises, many of them emanating from Washington. I was with children yesterday who are severely ill, where parents are...
Many crises emanating from Washington. Yeah, thank you. A little dig at Trump there. Let me ask you this, because, yes, I think Cuomo will be the next mayor. But if you're looking at the presidential election in 2028 from the Democrat side, if I throw out, and I'm going to go in this order of least to most likely, if I said Gavin Newsom from California, Andrew Cuomo from New York, Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, who would you say is the odds-on favorite to win that Democrat primary if it was down to those three?
Shapiro.
I agree. Dawn, you agree as well? Shapiro over Cuomo and Newsom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Good talk.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, that's fine.
I think it's too...
I think New York City is dumb enough to vote Cuomo in as mayor. I don't think the United States as a nation is dumb enough to elect Cuomo as president. And I think what happens here is I think Newsom's dead man walking. He might as well just go all in with the podcast. Maybe he can work with Paul George here with the Sixers and do a pod together. But like you look at Cuomo and Shapiro, there's far more failures and dirt, and I know Shapiro's got a background as well with what happened allegedly or whatever the whole situation was with the female and the court thing, and you know, that'll obviously come into the national spotlight if he, you know, goes for it in 2028, and maybe that'll start as soon as 2026 as far as those stories being, you know, given more run on mainstream media or certainly like Fox News. But with Cuomo's failures during the pandemic, the deaths in the nursing home, obviously what happened behind closed doors in his office, you know, the thing with his brother's going to be brought up as well. I mean, I just think you're far more likely to see Shapiro over Cuomo. But that being said,
wait, you're saying Cuomo would run for?
I could see Cuomo running for president.
No, he's.
You don't think so?
Here's the thing: the whole thing that happened with Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, with it was a Republican. The background with the sexual harassment, that whole thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a Republican he brought into his administration, the lone, like, Republican who he had long been buddies with, who he brings in to work within the administration. Now, is there an accusation that people overlook this, whatever? But Governor Shapiro was far removed from that. There's no allegation he had anything to do with it. And there's really not tangible evidence that he knew about it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's like saying somebody in this, you know what I mean, in your building was, you know, ultimately is the governor, I guess, it's his administration, but he had nothing directly to do with it. I don't see that as a major piece of baggage. What I see with Shapiro is two issues. Number one, he campaigned on the fact, he went on Fox News on the fact, he promised the school vouchers. He promised school choice.
And failed.
Okay, and then line item vetoed it. Line item canceled it out. That's huge.
Yes,
number one, education.
Yep.
And number when we spend among the most in the nation on education, that's number one. Number two, progressive policies, especially these policies. I'm telling you, it's that sleeper, the policies that elevate males, it allowed in sports mm-hmm. against the girls. Those are the two things that will haunt Shapiro unless he turns those two things
around. I do think he needs to pivot away from the whole, you know, protecting women in sports thing. That you've got to ditch that if you want to have it. Now, you might still be able to win the Democrat primary, but you're not going to win, you know, the general against a Republican if it's J.D. Vance with common sense policies. But I would also say when you look at Shapiro, Cuomo, and Newsom, Shapiro, and maybe this, and I guess it could work both ways, he's the lesser known commodity to the nation compared to the other two. I think the nation collectively, when you hear the word Gavin Newsom, knows that name and that face and that voice more than Shapiro. And I would say Cuomo is more of a, if you want to call him a commodity, a known brand than Shapiro. I don't know if that works in his favor, and I'm talking about Shapiro, or against him at that point in time. But I think, you know, we here in Pennsylvania certainly know about him. And never forget this, and kudos to Stocker for nailing this. You know, you said back in the fall or the late summer when Kamala, you were like, I don't think anybody knows really anything about Kamala Harris. She's unknown. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's the vice president of the United States. That's going to be a battle that, you know, if we get a potential matchup of Shapiro against J.D. Vance, both of them are going to have to introduce themselves.
It's going to be Bashir. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be, I mean, it's a long way out, but it's going to be Kentucky's Governor Andy Bashir. He's absolutely going to run, in my humble opinion. He's a Southerner. He's moderate. I think that's who Shapiro would worry about. And I think that's why right now you see our governor. What did I report in the early news? He's saying, oh, for those federal employees, you're laid off. Pennsylvania wants to hire you. So he's getting he's making national news. He's very good at doing that. But I still think Governor Andy Bashir gives him a run for his money. As far as Cuomo, way too many dead bodies in the closet, skeletons in the...
Oh, yes.
Cuomo's not going to run for... That's not happening.
Okay.
J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, and Pete Hegseth were at the border yesterday. And,
wow, three of them.
Yeah. Let's start with J.D. Vance here. This is cut 15. He answered questions from the press. This one was about the application of tariffs. Cut 15, go.
On tariffs, are any other industries other than automotive reaching out to you guys to carve out special deals And did the automotive industry know this was coming before today?
Well, a number of industries have reached out to us to ask us for exceptions to the tariffs, but I think the president's been very clear here that he wants the tariffs to apply broadly. He doesn't want to have 500 different industries getting 500 different carve-outs, and the way to avoid application of the tariffs is to have your factory and have your facility in the United States of America. That is the way. Invest in America. That is how you will avoid being penalized by these tariffs.
You know, we were talking about the tariffs yesterday, and I think we kind of framed it as this, you know, game of chicken and who's going to tap out first. Are you surprised? Now, I haven't checked any of the mainstream media sites since last night when this one-month pause on the tariff was reinstituted. Are you surprised that the media is not calling out Trump from a mainstream media standpoint as taking the foot off the gas on the threats or the issuance of tariffs? I haven't checked any of the websites. Maybe they are, but that was one of the thoughts that popped into my head this morning when I saw this on the cut sheet.
Yeah, I mean, I think the media is what they're reporting is all of the, first of all, the stock market, Wall Street jitters. And then locally, at the local level, interviewing jitters.
The stock market's tanking.
No, it rebounded yesterday. It went back up 486 points with the pausing of the tariff.
And so, reacting to it.
I think we're back to exactly where it was a couple of days ago. It dropped by what?
It's been on the downfall since the start of the year.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about the ebbs and flows of this week. Remember, it crashed with 500-600 points.
Yeah.
And then went back up 4.
And
which
we're in the negatives too with the GDP. So yeah. It's not, you know.
I don't play the stock market.
The economic news is not great.
But you asked about specifically. So locally right now in our area, there are everybody from clothing company. Everybody's saying, we're already getting word from down the supply chain. Everybody's raising prices. So that's how the media is covering it locally. You know, there was a tuxedo shop, you know, because we have prom coming up, graduation, like all of these different things. So that's the local coverage that I see as far as everybody's bracing, companies are bracing for the tariffs.
It's just amazing to me is when you go back, and I guess it's politics, and this is just the way the nature of the business and the industry is. You know, the Biden administration was talking about the stock market and where it was, and that was the great indicator of how great our economy is. But if you're not playing the stock market, and I don't know what the percentage of Americans
the majority of Americans aren't.
So to me, when the stock market, you know, takes a nosedive, first of all, I don't play it. And secondly, I don't think it really affects and impacts those in middle of America. It's more impactful for the really wealthy that have a big investment in the stock market.
No, it also affects 401ks.
Well, that's, you know, yeah.
Like stuff like that. It's not just the people who, as you put it, play the stock market. Yeah.
It's gambling.
Okay, yeah, sure. It's gambling.
You don't think buying and selling stocks
and
trades?
Yeah, I guess so.
Gambling?
But it's not, you know, like it's not like placing a wager on the Birds, you know, +7 against the Chiefs.
That's my type of investments.
Yeah. This morning, Dow futures dropping nearly 400 points the day after stocks staged a massive rebound. White House announces the 1 month delay on the tariffs for automakers. That's what we talked about right at the top of the 7. Macy's mixed results for fourth quarter, so we're learning some of those. But the recovery rally, that's one of the headlines from yesterday.
J.D. Vance also on what Mexico can do to end the tariffs. Roll this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last time they were paused because they deployed 10,000 troops to the border. What can they do this time to make the tariffs go away?
Well, what the president has said is we need a sustained commitment from the government of Mexico to take the job of border security seriously. Fentanyl is the single largest cause of death among young Americans, and we know that a substantial portion of it is, you know, the precursors are made in China. They come to Mexico, they're manufactured in Mexico and brought across the border by the Mexican drug cartels. We want to see fewer Americans dying of these terrible fentanyl overdoses, and we're going to apply as much leverage as possible to the Mexican government as possible. You know, in some ways, look, The president obviously cares deeply about the American people. He serves the American people first. I actually think he's doing a huge favor to the people of Mexico, because if they don't get control of these cartels, the people of Mexico are going to wake up in a narco state where the cartels have more power than their own government. President Trump is trying to help. The Mexican government needs to take this issue of immigration enforcement seriously.
So three things on that front with that clip. Number one, it's disgraceful that our media does not spend more time covering the fentanyl crisis in this country with people that die and why it happens. Secondly, when it comes to Mexico, I gave these numbers earlier in the show, I think around 640 or so. 35% of Mexico's GDP is exports to the United States, where conversely, 1.2% of America's gross domestic product is exports to Mexico. So that is not even apples to apples at all. But I would just say this in general with, you know, when you think about what our country is and all the power and talent and resources we have, when we talk about the implementation of tariffs, and we had that conversation earlier about, you know, convenience versus being a consumer society versus being a production society. We have natural resources. We have all the people you can imagine. We have smart people. We have innovators out there. We have leaders. You know, we have enough in this country collectively from top to bottom to be a self-sufficient nation. When you compare the United States to countless other nations, there are many nations that are just dependent and rely on us or other nations. We don't have to be that way. For some reason, we chose to be that way. And that, we need to reverse that. And I think that's a big part of what Trump is about. But it takes more than 4 years. It's not going to happen with one term.
Because we all opted for cheap and convenient.
Yes, you're right.
That's it. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. I don't disagree with you that I want to see more things made in the United States. I absolutely do. I just don't think it's practical.
So is the blame more on us, the citizen, or the corporations that have outsourced?
Both.
Because I understand from a corporation standpoint where, hey, if I can get somebody to work, I mean, I don't know a business owner out there that would not take somebody or some service or product on the cheap versus the more expensive one to increase their profits and bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Can you really blame the corporations? I know there's a lot of people that hate big corporations and their greed and whether or not they pay taxes, but
it's the same thing about business owners that hire illegal immigrants because it's cheaper. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we talk all the time about these people that are here illegally in these sanctuary cities that are holding them. What about the businesses that are employing them because they can pay somebody $10 an hour instead of another person $25 an hour?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when are the businesses going to be held accountable for this too?
Yep.
The mayor should be. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. But these business owners that undercut American-made or American companies by hiring a bunch of people under the table and paying them $100 a month, you know, when are they going to be held accountable?
Yep, you're right.
Steve Ducey yesterday, Peter Ducey, sorry. This is Cut 26. We had this discussion because you two were outraged that Zelensky didn't wear a suit.
I wasn't out.
Oh, I was. I am. Yeah. And I said I'm not a suit guy. You know that. Yeah. I'm a sweatshirt guy. I'm more Fetterman than I am Trump as far as dress code.
To the Deuce man's credit, yeah, he pushed back a little bit on Caroline Leavitt. Like, what's the dress code? Because Elon Musk can apparently show up in whatever he wants to. Roll it.
We know that some officials here were miffed that Zelensky showed up last week without a suit for his meeting in the Oval Office. But Elon Musk never wears a suit.
He did last night.
So what is the dress code?
Well, Elon Musk wore a suit last night. I'm sure you saw it.
Was he spooked by Zelensky getting kicked out?
No, I don't think so. I'm just pointing out that he did wear a suit last night. And I think the president liked that very much. And he looked great.
Now, I have certainly have ripped Elon for looking like a schlub. But Elon Musk, when you're the wealthiest man on the planet, you can kind of do what you want, right? You know, he doesn't really have to answer, in theory, to anybody short of Trump while he's in this Doge role. That being said, Elon Musk is not the one asking for handouts. So to me, if you're alive today and your nation is still somewhat in the fight because of America and our funding whether it's money or weapons, the least you can do. And you heard Trump in that clip last Friday when Zelensky got out of his vehicle. He's like, oh, you dressed up today. That was him dressing up. Yeah, it's like me wearing a golf polo. That's me dressing up versus the hooded sweatshirt in the cold weather season. But, dude, eventually, can you put on a suit? Seriously.
I mean, when during World War II, Winston Churchill famously did not wear a suit until the war was over. I'm not sitting here defending Zelensky. Trust me, I'm far from that. Yeah. But I'm just saying that is allegedly what Zelensky is doing. He's not going to wear a suit until.
His poll numbers are apparently down in his country. Americans...
According to who?
According to whatever that last poll from Reuters was that cited that he's not polling well. I don't know.
Yeah, the poll. Greg.
So no, I'm just saying, he's not polling well according to whatever poll was conducted where Ukrainians feel about his leadership with the war. We've seen Americans with the polling from Harry Enten on CNN that Americans have gone from 74% support for Ukraine to 46% support. So when you're starting to lose favor in the public eye,
yeah,
foreign and abroad, or domestically and abroad, maybe you do something to shit. I mean, if I was on the ropes at Odyssey Philadelphia and I started to get the sense that, man, I don't think people around here like me, I might not be around much longer. Maybe it would come into my mind, maybe I should change the way I dress and maybe that will give me a better chance of achieving my end goal. You show up looking like Oscar the Grouch out of a dumpster for $150 billion after we've already given you countless billions of dollars. I don't know. Read the room, homie.
Read the room, homie. That's a great point.
That's just my stance. But what do I know?
By the way, if you don't think Josh Shapiro is already campaigning for 28, the Inquirer, there he is, and he says, Governor Josh Shapiro says Trump's tariff plan makes no sense.
Oh, he's definitely
he's all over. Right?
He probably believes deep down inside that he's the front runner. And he could very well be the frontrunner. Yeah.
We should break and then come back and do more.
Yes. And if Josh from Abington ever wants to call the show, he can call
it. He does want to call the show. There's no way. I've made over, because I know him. I know people that know him. I made overtures and.
No interest, huh? Oh, Dawn's besties with him. Dawn can get him on the Dawn show.
I'm not a bestie.
Let's just say that, some of my texts and emails have not been returned.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Directly to him?
It's fine. I don't like.
So you have Shapiro's phone number, is what you're saying.
I want. I don't want any.
No answer. Look at that. Yeah. He's like Eric Adams. He just.
I'll Google it.
855-839-1210. We'll come back, continue with more cuts. We've got another story or two that we're going to get to later in the show that I think you will like. And that is courtesy of Elon Musk in conflict of what the Biden administration has done with some of the NASA astronauts.
And can we get to the fact that the conservatives have turned on Amy Coney Barrett?
Oh, I know. Persona non grata, her and John Roberts.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
I heard one social media person call her a DEI hire.
Wow. Yeah, I guess they come in all shapes and sizes. Kale and Company, as we continue, but first a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America. When choosing a lawn care service, I think it makes sense to hire a company that provides the best results, but also is safe for your family and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America to be my lawn care company, because at Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products that will keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners that are switching to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying that beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding on an annual basis, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Free seed. Your lawn deserves the best. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
You know, keeping your home warm, efficient, and safe in winter, springtime, all year round, really, it's paramount. And that's why I have my guys at Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. They got us winter ready. As I've shared with you, you know, replaced the water heaters when they blew out. That unfortunately happened over the holiday seasons. And now they're coming back actually next week. So we'll do a spring tune-up, among other things. Marvin E. Cans, they're great people, local, third generation owned and military veteran founded company. Take my advice. Call my guys, Marvin E. Cans. Get your furnace checked out for winter, for spring, moving forward. Listen, if they feel that your unit actually needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest, fair assessment, and especially at a good price, and install that high-efficiency Train furnace. I've received word from some of you. You said, Dawn, that's exactly what I did, and you're thrilled about it. And I always love the feedback. Make sure that you let me know. But it's hard to stop a train, as they say, T-R-A-N-E. Great system. Contact my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, MarvinEKANZE.com, MarvinEKANZE.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.